Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. Now, among my many roles, I'm the global head of influencer marketing at the Branded Content Marketing Association, which is a professional membership organization representing the branded content and influencer marketing industry. But I'm also a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector, and now published author on influencer marketing strategy. In this podcast series, you'll hear me interview all sorts of people from the world of influencer marketing. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. In this podcast, we talk with mummy blogger Helen Wills. Helen started her blog, Actually Mummy, in 2011 when she realized that talking to the four walls and a baby was never going to be enough. Since then, she's earned a reputation as a professional and innovative writer, crafting stories and video for high-profile brand campaigns such as Mark Warner, Universal Studios, Heinz and Tefl. Now a full-time blogger, podcast and presenter, Helen's work has also led her to some high-profile speaking opportunities at Parliament and with the BBC, which she says are the best parts of her job. So check out Helen's podcast Teenage Kicks on all podcast platforms and listen to what she has to say on the Influence Global podcast.
I am full-time content creator, I guess is what you'd officially call me. That's pieced together by being a blogger, an Instagrammer, a podcaster, public speaker, a bit of presenting. Effectively, it is what it says. I create content for audiences connected primarily around parenting, but in various different niches.
When did you start?
2011, March 2011. It was a big old day when I suddenly realised that, well, actually, I suddenly pulled my finger out and did something about the procrastination and panic and imposter syndrome that I'd been having probably for about 6 months, thinking maybe I could be a blogger. March 2011, Actually Mummy was started as a typical mummy blog.
And what made you want to do that? You say you'd been procrastinating. What made you want to do this?
Well, this is a really narcissistic story. My first child was born in 2004, and it was my birthday a couple of months later. And a friend bought me this beautiful kind of silk-bound diary, journal to write in. And I'd never used a diary or done any journaling, but I'd had a couple of glasses of champagne when I opened this bottle and I was feeding my baby. And I thought, you know, I'll just start writing because she's quite funny and unique and amazing, my baby. No baby's ever done any of the funny, cool things that she does before. So I just started writing this diary for her. Bizarrely, possibly it was the champagne, in her voice. And various people in the family and friends read it over the months and years and said, this is actually really funny, Helen, you should write a book. And I had so much imposter syndrome that I didn't think I could write a book. And I then happened upon a dad blog, not a mum blog, but a dad blog, and thought that would be a good way of putting my stories out into the world just to see if anybody likes it enough to offer me a book deal. I was so naive in those days. And over the next couple of years of just sending out my thoughts on family life, that blog grew and became for me the focal point of a massive community of parents that I hadn't known before, but who were all going through parenting at a similar stage to me.
That's amazing. What lessons have you learned along the way? What's attracted people to your community, do you think?
The biggest mistake I've made, and I make it all the time still, and I have to talk myself out of it daily, is trying to be like somebody else. Because the reason my blog worked was because I had not seen parent blogs before. I just was writing in a way that people found amusing. It hadn't been done before, or if it had, nobody had said to me, oh yeah, I know somebody else that writes in the voice of their tiny baby. And people found it amusing and it resonated. And then a few people then started to write in a similar voice, which is fine, because the blog grew to be big enough that it was winning awards. And that was a lovely place to be. But whenever I've looked at other people and thought, oh, what you're doing is really good, I'm going to do that, I've never got the same buzz or the same levels of success as they've had, or the same levels of success that I get when I just do my own thing. So I do think it pays to step back occasionally and say, right, what do I really want to write about? Because if I want to write about it, as I say, I use this word a lot, narcissistic. It sounds narcissistic and arrogant, but if I want to write about it, you can pretty much bet that there will be a bunch of other people that also want to write the same, read the same, talk about the same, join in that conversation. And doing what feels right inside me rather than looking outside to what other people are doing always feels more authentic. And I think that just shows. It's really obvious when somebody has latched onto something someone else is doing and decided they're going to copy it. It's really obvious that it's not really them.
Yeah, because I think one of the things that really strikes me about great content creators is those that are authentic. You can almost feel it through their passion and their language. I mean, for what it's worth, Helen, I had imposter syndrome when I was writing my book on influencer marketing strategy as well. The worst part of the research phase was to look at other almost amazing writers and think, oh my God, my book will never be like that.
And yeah.
And the irony is, as my sister said to me a while back, remember, your book, there's no other book like your book because it's yours. And it's how you interpret information in a way that resonates. And obviously, my book's done all right. So I guess it's the same with you, isn't it, really? It's being true to your own. And when it comes to influencers and content creators, I always think it's the passion first. The collaborations and the opportunities will follow once you've got an audience that are engaged. And, you know, we were just talking, weren't we, about the importance of community and niching down somewhat. And you've said earlier that niche is very important in your space as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is how the blog became a business, because for the first 2 years, I don't think I made any money. I can't remember now, but I just did my parenting. My kids were quite full on. I found parenting young children quite hard work. I just did all of that all day long and then sat down whenever I got nap time or the evening and loved writing stories on my blog and loved crafting the words that I thought would hook people in. And because that's what I love. I love writing. So that was my hobby. I loved getting the feedback. And then, of course, part of the creating of the community is that I became quite obsessed with going to have a look at the people who were commenting, if they were bloggers, and joining in with what, it was a conversation. It was always a conversation, and it was as much sent in their direction as it was in mine. And then, I don't know, I think it was probably about 18, 20 months in, somebody offered to send me a bottle of bubble bath. And that was my first brand engagement. And I was over the moon. Like, oh my goodness, someone's noticed me and they want to send me something free. I could probably buy it for £1.99 at the supermarket, but this is brilliant. Yes, I'll dedicate an entire blog post and a video and photos of my kids to this bubble bath. And that's where it started, but that's where things start.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I love great gifting campaigns as well. I mean, obviously, there are others that are more paid for, but, you know, that's how content creators start often, by engaging with brands, with gifting to start with. And it makes you feel good. It's probably not just about the bubble bath. It's the fact that somebody has noticed you and appreciated your relevance. Which often I think is great, just as you've just articulated.
Yeah, well, it's reassurance that you are doing something that is valuable to more than just you and the other mommy bloggers that are also trying to get their blogs off the ground, and your mum and your dad and your auntie and your husband who like reading about your kids.
Let's drill down a bit more into that. And what sort of brand campaigns have you run? And I'm just keen to find out, you know, how they have developed, whether or not it was driven by them approaching you and saying, this is what we want to do. What part did you have in that, in terms of making something, you know, really fly?
I would say that probably 75% of the brands I work with approach me, and they've found me through my SEO, whether that be within my website or on my Instagram bio. All the messages that I put out there now, 10 years on, are maximized for SEO so that I do get noticed by the type of people that I would like to work with. So most of my work now is on being a midlife woman and having teenage kids. So all of my standard content is peppered with that because that's what I'm interested. That is what stage of life I'm at. But that's how brands find me. The other 25% is me pitching for specific things that I want to do with brands because I think they either will help me create my profile as a voice in middle age or a voice in teenage parenting, or teenage mental health is something I talk about a lot, or because I'll be completely honest, I really want that product. And I wonder if they have a marketing budget to gift it to me so that I can work on it and produce some decent content for them. So, for example, at the moment, I'm working with Gosney, who do a brilliant pizza oven, and I pitched them for that. I would have bought one. And this is quite a key thing. If I have the available funds, I would buy all of the things I write about and all of the brands that I work with.
That's the key, isn't it, Helen? Is that actually that means that you are likely to tell the story in the best authentic way possible.
Yeah. And when I pitched Gosney, I did email them and say, look, I'm going to buy one of your pizza ovens, but I just thought, would you like to work on a gifting campaign? And I can create this kind of video and this kind of blog post, and sent them some examples of things I've done before. And this is my premise and my angle, because we're doing Up the Garden. We're not going away this summer. I want to make the most of my garden before my teenagers grow up too quickly and leave home. So it's a nice story for them, and it's a fantastic pizza oven for me.
Yeah, of course. So you've not seen any sort of results of the content yet, or is it
anecdotal so far? So you've seen the weather recently.
Of course.
I have been posting on my Instagram stories and my reels, this is how I unboxed it and this is how I'm getting to grips with it, and this is the burn I've caused myself, because it's real and authentic. It's like, this is dead easy to set up, it creates incredible pizzas, but I leave a bit to be desired in my recipe management. But that is part of the story, and it's going out on stories. And so my anecdotal feedback is literally just people going, oh, is that the rock box? What's it like? So it's all that. And then once I've got good at making incredible pizzas and we've really tested it out, I will create a video of the whole thing, from the unboxing through the mistakes to the, this is how quickly you can get to a really good place with these homemade pizzas, and a blog post to go with it.
Wow, I love it. It's great. I mean, that's a really good example of a collaboration, authentic, genuine. It's great for the brand because you're in their target audience, and obviously so are your followers. But it makes absolute sense for them to be doing that. And also this whole period of start to finish, I love that, because you're almost recording things that have, it's almost like, if I can do it, anybody can do it type of message, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And also, they're a brilliant brand to work with. I love it when a brand gets the premise of what you're doing and gives you the time and the freedom to do it your way. And then it becomes two-way. So I've gone back to them a few times already and said, look, this is what I'm doing. This is the struggle I had with my first effort at pizza dough. And this is the better effort that I made. I want to do exactly what the picture I've just painted to you. So bear in mind, this is going to take a little bit of time, and I'm pushing it out on stories beforehand. And they've said, no, that's absolutely fine. It needs to be authentic. And they are viewing it as a long-term relationship anyway. So at the moment, I have the gas version. If that goes well and they get good engagement as a result of what I do next, I might pitch them for the wood burning option, because they work really well with influencers. Gosney are amazing for that. So I'm tying in other influencers as well. We have a local guy called Peddling Pizzas, who's brilliant and uses their pizza ovens for his business. I follow him for recipes, and I've tagged him in a couple of my posts, and he said, oh, come down on Saturday, I'll make you one at the market where he's working. And so, that is then an ongoing conversation, and I talk about him as well as them, and it will evolve and develop.
Yeah, it could be that you start to create some recipes, different types of pizzas that that you could put together involved some food manufacturers that could be involved in the pizzas. I mean, it really does give a long tail of opportunity, doesn't it? And it could be you have some friends round for the Gosling pizza party, you know, and how you can package up and give takeaways for people that need to go earlier or something. It could be all sorts of different ways.
My daughter finished school this week after her GCSEs, and she's invited her mates over tomorrow for lunch. So part of my working day tomorrow is cooking up the girls a few pizzas, and hopefully they'll agree to be filmed a little bit. And so that will all be part of it. And it's a more of a, it's like an entire lifestyle project, but I'm happy with that because, you know, they've gifted me quite a good bit of kit and it's more fun. Otherwise I would have probably saved up, bought it myself and never bothered putting it into my social media. Well, I would here and there, but I wouldn't have made such an effort on it, and then we wouldn't have had such nice stories.
No, of course not. And then maybe one other, you've got another campaign that you've worked on previously that has been one of your highlights of your career that really did create huge engagement.
We did a massive campaign with SeaWorld. SeaWorld really wanted to change the message from some of the bad press they've had in recent years to being incredible theme parks for roller coasters. So they took us out to Florida and we spent 4 days doing all four parks just riding the roller coasters. And that was, you know, for my family, it was a holiday. For me, it was a lot of work and they paid me as a result of that. I mean, it's fun work, it's brilliant work. But the wonderful part of that for my family is that although we had to get up at 6 a.m. every morning, we'd done all the coasters by 10 a.m. when the parks opened. We'd done front ride, empty roller coaster, and we had a photographer following us. We've got the photos to show it. So that is just the most incredible family memory. That was 3 years ago now. The kids still talk about that as being one of the coolest things they've ever done, because you don't get to do that kind of thing.
No, I was in a masterclass earlier today, and I was talking about if you want to work with influencers and content creators, create exclusive access for them, you know, create things that they can bring something special for their audiences. So in effect, you've got an inside bird's eye view of this before the masses will have come into those parks.
Yeah, we had a press team with us the whole way. So we did all the back of house, behind the scenes stuff. We went and saw all their conservation work and met the team that do all of that, looking after the animals and the rescue that they do. So we had an amazing experience. And as a result, we were able to, A, showcase the parks as big destinations for roller coasters, and B, talk authentically about the good work that they do. I know that there is still stigma around some of what SeaWorld does and has because of historical practices, but you know, it was genuine what they are doing that is good. And so that was the message they wanted out there, and that worked really well. Of course, it's SeaWorld. People don't like what they've done in the past. So there was always going to be some negative press, but showing us how much work they do these days that is positive for the world really helped me to handle that.
And how did your followers react to that content?
I didn't get anything really negative. I did get a few people say, yeah, it looks great, but on principle, I won't do SeaWorld for this. And that's fine. That's absolutely their choice. I had one person message me and say, I'm really sorry, Helen, but I can't engage because... But she didn't post anything publicly on my streams. So there's a massive amount of respect there amongst my community for what I'm doing.
That is. The fact that somebody that didn't agree bothered to share that privately as opposed to publicly, I think that's amazing.
Yes, and they weren't disparaging about it. You know, they weren't cross with me. And, you know, the few people who did say publicly, but what about this? I was able to talk to them and they, you know, it's a conversation at the end of the day. What I cannot stand on content creation and social media is lecturing. So it's not for me to tell you what you should think, nor is it for you to tell me what I should think. It's about educating if there's a disagreement and then learning from the other person. And I very much approach all my content in that way.
Yeah. You actually want a bit of the debate as well, don't you? So that others can comment on stuff. Also, your followers can give you real feedback and insights about, I really liked that bit of your content. I loved it when you were able to show us a bit of behind the scenes of to what actually goes on, because that helped you as a content creator thinking, right, okay, I'm going to do more behind the scenes stuff, or I'm just the little snippets that will have worked better for you. And then that's another learning, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I've got actually a post to go out on Instagram that I picked up from, I think it was in a book I read. I jot down little quotes here and there when they resonate with me. And one of them was just recently, just ask. If you don't know what to put out there, if you're having a wobble over, is my content right? Is it good enough? Is it going anywhere? Is it taking me places? Just ask your audience what it is they enjoy hearing from you and what they'd like to see more of. And we forget to do that all of the time. We sit there in our own bubble going, oh, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, and wait to see what people say. But people are desperate to tell you if you ask. They're very open about what they think you should be doing in a good way.
Of course. What surprised you about doing what you've doing? What has made you really think, wow, okay, that didn't go the way I thought, or it's amazed you? Something that's given you some really amazing insight back from your follower base?
That is a really good question. I try now never to underestimate the power of something really small and simple. So sometimes if I'm feeling a bit lazy on Instagram, but I know because I like my schedule to be as it is, I need to put something out, I just whack something down and dirty up there. Just like no makeup, no snazzy captions, no long thought out message. Just, I think this is quite funny, I'll just stick that up. And I get some of the biggest engagement. I mean, my biggest reel, I think it's an 8-second reel on Instagram of me just having a little moan about people not understanding my child's medical condition. So my daughter has type 1 diabetes. No one gets it. No one understands type 1 diabetes. No one should do. I never did before we had it, but lots of assumptions are made about it. And that's had over 6,000 views, more than twice as much of my biggest reel behind it. I once spent all day creating this beautiful reel of me transforming into Snow White because someone had said my outfit looked a bit like Snow White. I spent all day doing this. I'm so proud of it. And this had about 2,000 views. This has had 6,500. It took me 5 minutes.
Wow. It is funny, isn't it? And also time of day, depending on the mood, you know, content that would have ordinarily worked well in a year might not have worked last year or in our pandemic. I mean, for example, nobody wants to see beauty babes on a beach when we're all in lockdown, do they? You know what I'm saying? Is its relevance and timeliness is critical.
And also the point you made earlier about the niche. So whilst quite a lot of the time in my big world of mommy blogging, I'm parenting, of which, you know, a huge amount of the population is involved, I just think, well, there's only 400 odd thousand type 1 diabetics in the UK. I'm forgetting America there, obviously. That's going to get me very little reach. But that community is highly active and supremely engaged with content that resonates with them. So you find something that means something to a handful of people in a really highly engaged, tiny community, and it goes really well.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any a few tips that you'd like to give? I mean, we do have the shows listened to by content creators as well. Are there any tips that you'd like to share with our audience that has really, that you've learned along the way?
Well, I've said be authentic. Don't underestimate niching down. I think just being really honest. Content creators themselves see through any disingenuity. Everybody knows when somebody is trying to sell something for the sake of the money they've been paid and not because they believe in it. And for brands, that is really important to nail as well. As I say, I only work with brands that I would buy from. I can feel it in me. I can feel the difference in the way I'm creating the content, because I have worked with brands for money before. I've never worked with a brand that I don't believe in, but where I've just gone, oh yeah, I need the money, back in the day. and gone, yes, all right, I know that people in my audience are interested in this stuff. I'm not really, but I'll push it out there anyway. It falls flat because it's really obvious. I don't know what it is. I've not nailed it yet, but it's really obvious that I'm not engaged in that brand. And so it's just not worth it.
No. Well, at the end of the day, a brand wants, you know, if they're trying to promote through influence, they want ambassadors, don't they? They want people that are going to share their voice and feel passionately about it. They don't want just sales machines. And that's why I love this word, which is so well used in the industry, is collaboration, because that's what it should be, where both parties see the value of what their proposition is all about. Great stuff, Helen. So what does the future look like for you? What's the next plans in your world?
Quite a lot of work on the mental health for teenagers aspect of things. My podcast is some 38 episodes in today, I think. And there will be a lot more of that. That, because it's only 38 episodes in, is still small in terms of downloads. Every now and then I get somebody taking the time to actually email me and tell me what a difference it's made to them. So I know that that's got legs and I'll be focusing a lot more on that. In tandem with that, I'm training as a coach for parents who are feeling underconfident in their abilities to move from parenting a 9-year-old to parenting a 15-year-old, because there's a lot of that. People are scared of their kids becoming teenagers. So I'll be working on that. And in terms of brands, yeah, going back to the Gosney thing, I've interestingly had a couple of offers today for garden outdoorsy stuff that will work perfectly. So that's going to be a big project that will probably help to move my blog more into a homes and interiors niche, as well as the teenage life and midlife women, which are the two other big niches that I have. They all interlink. The website's being rebranded. There's lots of really good things coming.
Awesome. So how can people find out more about you?
So the blog is actually mummy.co.uk. Teenage Kicks podcast is on all the platforms. I am on Instagram and Twitter as I Am Helen Wills, and Facebook still as Actually Mummy.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, which is gordon@gordonglenister.com. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to give us a 5-star review, we do really appreciate it too. I'm also now running influencer marketing masterclasses. So if you'd like to find out more, please head over to my website, which is www.gordonglenister.com. Thanks as always to my producer Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.